Hello, it's Sam from Financial Samurai, reporting to you live from Sonoma Valley, California. Not really live, but here is a podcast episode about my third quarter 2018 investment review and my fourth quarter 2018 outlook. So to start, just a review, I had a prediction, I made some predictions for 2018, that the stock market would be up, well, the S&P 500 would be up about 10% this year, so 3,000 target. And there would be a cap on the 10-year bond yield at 3%, and coastal city real estate would slow down. So far, the stock market is doing pretty well. It's up like 7.5%, so I'm on target to hit that 10%. But the bond market has gone nuts. It's nuts in a bad way, as it has sold off quite aggressively, so the 10-year bond yield is now at 3.22%. And this is really concerning, folks. So stay tuned. This is really concerning for a lot of things, including mortgages, credit card debt, and just a lot of personal loans. And then the coastal city real estate market, it's really clear to me that the markets are slowing. Even like in Canada, right? Like Toronto, Vancouver, even in Australia and London. These global expensive real estate markets all over are slowing because of rising inventory, rising interest rates, expensive valuations, and simply buyer fatigue. It's pretty amazing how much prices have gone up. And now with rates this much higher, you know, we're talking probably like 5% on a 30-year fixed mortgage loan now in the United States. That's expensive, relatively. So let me start with a recap first. There are only two financial accounts out of the 25 plus that I track online that I really care about at the moment. The first one is my after-tax investment account, I'll call the house fund, I created in third quarter 2017 after I sold my San Francisco rental house. And the second is my real estate crowdfunding portfolio that has mostly investments outside of expensive coastal cities. I care about these two accounts the most because before I sold my SF rental house, I had a different investment strategy for this portion of my net worth. I had originally wanted to hold the SF property I bought in 2005 forever. But after a good run-up since 2012, and with a new set of responsibilities as a stay-at-home father, it felt like it was simply time to simplify life and to just let it go. So how I reinvest the $1.8 million in proceeds will largely determine whether I made the right move to sell the house or not. If I lose money while the house continues to appreciate in value, then I'll feel like an idiot. If I lose money while the house starts declining in value, I'll feel fine because the house had some leverage and I would actually be losing more. If the house appreciates more than my reinvestments, well, I'll at least take solace in all the time and stress saved from not owning. I've already conceded it is unlikely I'll make more money from my reinvestments than if I continue to own the house, given they lack the leverage my house had. The house had a market value of $2.74 million because that's what I sold it for, with a mortgage of $815,000. Further, the SF Bay Area economy is bananas, with Uber and Airbnb likely to go public in 2019, you know, basically flooding the market with thousands of new liquid millionaires. So let's see how I did. Well, I did okay. July in the house fund saw basically a wash. I had a $5,000 loss and about a $4,200 dividend gain. August was really great. It was a $40,435 market change increase and $1,753 in dividends. So everything was going great in August. Really great. I was feeling good about myself. But September came and I lost $19,000 and made $1,200 in dividends. So what happened? Well, tech corrected. My house sale fund was roughly 45% in individual municipal bonds and bond funds, and 55% in index funds and specific tech investments such as Amazon, Netflix, Facebook, Apple, and most recently Tesla once Elon Musk got sued by the SEC. And the reason why the house sale fund is tech heavy is because my San Francisco rental property was a derivative play on big tech. I believe this, and so I figured, well, in order for my performance to keep up, I needed some tech-heavy exposure. At the same time, I wanted real estate exposure to not lose too much of an allocation in my overall net worth. So like I said, everything was going great through August, and then September hit, And then just my tech stocks just started imploding one after the other. Netflix, my largest individual holding, went from a high of 408 to a low of 317 on August 13th, for example. And I love Netflix. I bought more after the correction because I see it as the best $12 of entertainment per month money can buy. They can easily raise their prices to $15 and boost their cash flow and profitability without losing as many customers as the percentage increase in pricing. And as they expand across the globe with their original content, I think these guys are the only game in town. So I'm long. I've been long for years and it's done well. So I'm just going to continue to ride this very expensive stock wave. Meanwhile, fixed income securities came under pressure as interest rates kept going up. What went from a 3% fund outperformance of the S&P 500 ended up resulting in a 0.5% underperformance by the end of third quarter. So it's really tough to lose money in the stock market because the bond market is losing money and interest rates are going up. It's like a double whammy. So my overall objective with the house sale fund is really to generate only a 4 to 5% rate of return. I mean, the absolute dollar value was 12 million, was 1.2 million. And then obviously I added more to it over time. So a 4 to 5% return is a nice, you know, $50,000, $60,000 annual gain, which is good enough. And so far the fund is up 8% through third quarter 2018, which is great. And it wasn't really that stressful, but I should consider rebalancing, but I can't stand the tax consequences and would rather just hold. For my real estate crowdfunding performance review for third quarter 2018, I'm pretty pumped. I now have 17 different real estate crowdfunding investments via the Realty Shares Domestic Equity Fund. I invested in the fund because I found I was often too late to get into the deals that I wanted. Further, I wanted to earn a completely passive income where a management committee would stress about which deals to invest in. They're the ones who let the deals on the platform in the first place, and only 5% of the deals get on the platform. So I wanted them to pick basically the best of the best. And I wanted them to also work with the sponsors to fix any underperforming properties as well. So demand continues to outstrip the supply of deals on the Realty Shares platform and perhaps other platforms. It looks like things are getting a little bit more competitive, which is good for the sponsors and good for the investors who can get in with these sponsors. I'm told another equity fund will be launched before the end of the year, maybe by November actually. And I'll be sure to let you guys know either in the podcast or probably in the private newsletter. So in the post, I detail the cash earnings from my real estate crowdfunding investments year to date. And it's pretty solid. In September, I got $9,690 in income, which is a big surprise. And so far year to date, I've got $21,322.74 from the fund and my one individual $10,000 investment. And that far surpasses my $9,600 estimate for the year in passive income. So I'm going to be revising the 2019 passive income estimates upward. And it's interesting because all my investments are equity investments with a 3 to 5 year time horizon. Maybe some are even longer. But with 17 different investments in the fund, basically, there's always one investment that's returning cash to its investors at some point. I feel good about this investment because I don't even remember that I have this investment until I see some money hit my bank account or my checking account. I mean, it's just private investment. I don't see the market every day. I can just forget about it, which is exactly what I want most of my money to be doing, to be making money and not having to think about it. Because when I think about it, I start stressing about it a little bit, right? If I had kept my SF rental house, I'm sure I would have received another 3, maybe 4 late rental payments, which would have really bummed me out. I hate going after tenants and saying, hey, the rent is due, it's late, if you don't pay, I'm going to assess you a penalty. It's just so annoying. But for some reason, my tenants were just terrible. And I'm sure I would have at least a couple more requests to fix something in the house, whether it was like, you know, the faucet or the water heater or just the hot water to the kitchen. It was just like an endless litany of things I had to fix. And, you know, it just didn't feel good because at the end of the day, I was paying $23,000 to $24,000 a year for property tax. And then I had insurance and then maintenance expenses. So the net was like maybe 6,000. I mean, obviously had a mortgage too, 6,000 a month. I mean, I could just make way more money, way more easily just online if I just focused. So I feel really good. I feel really good about selling it. You know, you just hold on to things. You know, when you own it for a long time, it's hard to let go. But, you know, it's over a year now and I feel fine. So as for fourth quarter 2018 investment outlook, with the 10-year bond yield surging to 3.22%, stocks and real estate will have a difficult time marching higher in fourth quarter. This collapse in bonds and treasury bonds and a surge in yields is pretty aggressive. I think it's caught many people by surprise. Again, my original 2018 prediction was to call for a 10% rise in the S&P 500 as the last good year of easy money and a 3% cap on the 10-year bond yield and a slowing of coastal city real estate. So far, three out of three were looking great until the past couple weeks. And now my call for a 3% cap on the 10-year bond yield is looking quite tenuous. Obviously, anything can happen between now and the new year, but it's clear to me coastal city real estate is slowing. So if you're buying now in places like New York, San Francisco, Seattle, Portland, probably Miami, Los Angeles, San Diego, I wouldn't expect any gains over the next 3 to 4 years. I would just expect actually abysmal returns. Look, you're buying at peak levels where prices are up 60 to 100% since 2012, while interest rates have surged higher. They're up, let's see, if it's at 3.2%, yeah, they're up basically from 1.6% to 3.2%, a doubling in a couple years. So this is not good for housing prices. So in retrospect, it looks like the first quarter of 2018, or maybe the end of fourth quarter 2017, was the most recent peak in housing prices. So just take a look at the surge in inventory. Take a look at the increased days on the market, the weakness in home building stocks. Every single one of them is down like 30%+. And the decline in prices, if you don't believe me, just Google your neighborhood that you want to buy in the coastal cities. And this is concerning. I'm no fool. I'm not going to be, you know, thinking, hey, my real estate crowdfunding investments in the heartland aren't going to be affected. But I do take solace in knowing that the vast majority of the investments are rehab projects, right, where the sponsor supposedly purchased at favorable prices. It's easier to get a little bit better deals in mid-market commercial real estate because prices are much higher. And if you're a competent operator, the best way to make money in real estate is to improve occupancy rates, increase rents, remodel, and expand rather than simply buy a condo or a single family home and hope the market takes it up. We're talking about sweat equity, and that's the beauty of real estate crowdfunding is I don't need to put any of that sweat equity, and I can get the benefit by obviously paying a fee and making these investments. It's really hard for me to put new money to work in the stock market or real estate market at the moment. But I've held my nose and accumulated more municipal bonds, more treasury bond ETFs during the downturn, and also some volatile tech names during the sell-off. I'm also waiting for information on the next Realty Shares fund. I no longer mind accumulating cash, given I can now get almost 2% with a money market fund, or 2.5% or higher with a 12-month CD. That's pretty good, folks. So I think it's worth being patient with your capital and at the very least optimizing your cash. If the stock market does melt down, I'm hopeful my 40% bond position will help my housing market fund outperform the S&P 500. It's always disappointing when stocks sell off as well as bonds. And that's something that doesn't happen too often, but it happens often enough where you just have to be paying attention to what's going on. I won't know the market value of my real estate crowdfunding investments no matter what the stock market does, which is one of the reasons why I like real estate. So overall, I think I'm just going to stick with my year-end target of 3,000 for the S&P 500 and 3% for the 10-year bond yield. And they are admittedly looking quite tenuous. And you know what? If the 10-year bond yield does stay at 3.22% or higher, it's probably unlikely that the S&P 500 will gain 10%. I'm thinking more like 7 to 8% max, because these headwinds are pretty serious because of the speed at which the rates have increased over the past month or so. But perhaps One of the saving graces might be a massive trade agreement with China. And of course, the ever popular year-end Santa Claus rally will at least prove my S&P 500 prediction correct. It's going to be tough, folks, but I think you just got to stay on top of your finances. Don't go crazy in terms of buying risk assets now. It definitely seems like things are slowing and you don't want to be caught with your pants down. Thanks so much, everyone, and I'd love to hear what your thoughts are for the fourth quarter and for the future, but I'll be talking about my 2019 predictions in about 3 months.